The affirmation of our faith here at Daleville Christian Church comes from 1 John, the second chapter, the first two verses. This week's affirmation of our faith, where we read, "If anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world." The gospel lesson today is from John's gospel in the sixth chapter, verses 30 through 59. Rather lengthy reading, but I believe you will see how it all holds together as Jesus is speaking with the crowd. "So they asked him," that is, they asked Jesus, "what miraculous sign then will you, Jesus, give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "from now on, give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who has sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." At this the Jews began to grumble about him, because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." And they said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I came down from heaven'?" "Stop grumbling among yourselves," Jesus answered. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever." He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. We have been talking since summer about the teaching of the church. We have used as the basis of our Bible readings those places in the Bible, in the New Testament, that give every appearance of being used repeatedly in the early church's worship, in the worship of the churches of the apostles. These are statements of faith, many of them probably sung in the worship services in the times of the apostles. But what if someone asked, but what did Jesus say? Well, that's a good question. What did Jesus say? We might be a little surprised. Many people who are not followers of Jesus believe that they know what Jesus said, but do they? Well, they can say words like love one another or forgive sins, but do they remember when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life? No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus said, I am a lot, 31 times in John's Gospel. 31 times. In these few Sundays before the holidays, we are answering a question that Jesus himself posed to the disciples. First, Jesus asked, who do people say that I am? The disciples knew the word on the street, and Jesus got a number of different answers from the disciples. And they replied, well, some say you are John the Baptist, and others say you are Elijah, and still others, the prophet Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. We still get a number of answers from our own streets today, don't we? But Jesus' question to the disciples is followed by Jesus with another question. Jesus asks, who do you say that I am? This is a question that Jesus posed to his own. It is a question the church asks everyone eventually. I think we would have to assume that the answer to that question was important to Jesus. And we can assume that our answer to that question today is still important to Jesus. Now, it might be good to be reminded that as we look at Jesus' words, that no one else could say those words and be taken seriously. Try to imagine someone standing up in a town meeting or a library meeting and saying, I am the way. No one has access to God except through me. Or think about how you would react if someone took the microphone at a funeral, as Jesus did, and announced, I am the resurrection and the life. If you believe in me, you will never die. The funeral director would immediately turn the microphone off and ask the person to sit down, or maybe even ask the police escort to take the person outside. It would be considered an interruption in the funeral service. But these are the very same words that Jesus actually spoke. And talk about disrupting the grieving family. Jesus provided the ultimate disruption to Lazarus' sisters by actually raising Lazarus from the dead. Funeral over. Grieving period over. Mourning clothes now look out of place and out of date. So who was this Jesus? Yes, some people remember the love one another, but they often do so without remembering Jesus' claims about himself. The claims that Jesus made sounded even more startling to the people Jesus spoke to who heard them first. The words I am. I mentioned last time that the construction in the Greek language in the original Greek text is unusual. It is divine talk. It is God talk. These are the words that Moses heard from the burning bush. I am who I am. Jesus, in using these words, was saying, I am the way to the Father because the Father and I are one. This may well be the reason, or one of the reasons, that Jesus was put on trial. These claims were considered Jesus' blasphemy, and these claims would be blasphemy if they were not true. However, if Jesus is one with the Father, then it's past time to hear everything Jesus said. If Jesus is our Lord Almighty, it is past time to get in line behind Jesus and follow him. I would mention, as we looked at one other of Jesus' I am sayings last time, that today's word from John's book in the 6th chapter, this is the first I am saying in John's gospel book. Americans love to eat. Americans love to eat too much, and you can understand that statement two ways. We love to eat too much, and we love eating too much too much. Those are both true. Comedian Jim Gaffigan, who is from Indiana, asks the question concerning Thanksgiving, what do we do on Thanksgiving? We overeat. Gaffigan states, that isn't much of a holiday. Americans overeat every day. That being said, we want to remember that food in America in our time is not like food in other parts of the world. In our culture, food has even become entertainment, toys for our children, at least when Mr. Potato Head was still a real potato. We kids were literally playing with our food. And now we have contests with our food, eating contests and cooking contests, and we have an entire television network dedicated to food. But food in the ancient world was not entertainment, and food in the ancient world was not entertaining. Food in the ancient world was life or death. Famine in the ancient world was a very real possibility, and famine brought death. The word famine occurs in the Bible about 100 times. The word famine occurs in the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, and the word famine is still a topic in the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. Books of the Bible spanning over 1,000 years, famine is there. Famine and the fear of famine. When God rescued the people of Israel from slavery in Egypt, the Israelites began a mass migration to the east, and one of their first crises was food. What would they eat? They were on the move. They could not grow anything. They were on the move and could not carry much. The story is told how the Lord God, who brought them out of slavery, provided them with manna to eat. So hold that thought, and we'll come back to it. Because we don't eat manna. No one in Jesus' day had eaten manna. No one had seen manna in over 1,000 years. But bread was important. Bread was essential. Although we in the 21st century play with our food, we at least also know more about food than any other generation before ours. We know about our food at the cellular level. We know our nutrition at the chemical level. The ancient peoples knew that bread was important. We in the 21st century know why bread is essential. You have to have the carbohydrates in bread. This is especially true in the diet of Jesus and Jesus' people because the people of the Jordan River Valley did not have many other carbohydrates to eat. Two grains provided these carbohydrates, wheat and barley. Almost all of you eat wheat, except for those who have to maintain a gluten-free diet, a diet free from the gliadin protein in wheat and other grains. So you've all had wheat. Anyone ever have any barley bread? I made muffins with barley once. They were very dry. I don't think it was the baker's fault. The preferred grain for the ancients was wheat, and barley was for the poorer people. The ancients also knew about millet and rye. The insoluble fiber in wheat bran was important to health, and the wheat germ contains B vitamins, iron, magnesium, zinc, and vitamin E. And just for your information and enlightenment, you might be interested to know what the Mayo Clinic says about the diet that Jesus' people ate. Today we call it a Mediterranean diet. Here's what the Mayo Clinic says about the Mediterranean diet. Research has shown that the traditional Mediterranean diet reduces the risk of heart disease. In fact, an analysis of more than 1.5 million healthy adults demonstrated that following a Mediterranean diet was associated with a reduced risk of death from heart disease and cancer, as well as reduced incidence of Parkinson's and Alzheimer's diseases. Keep this in mind, please, as we consider Jesus' words. I'd mentioned that one of the first crises the Israelites had when they left Egypt was a crisis of food. They implore Moses, and Moses talks to God, and God provides manna. We read it in the 6th chapter of the book of Exodus. The people complained to Moses, "You have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you." So Jesus and the people have this discussion about the manna which the Israelites received in their wanderings. So they asked Jesus, "What sign then will you, Jesus, give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness." The people want Jesus to give them a sign of his power, or a sign of his authority, or a sign of his provision for them. But Jesus reminded them. Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Jesus is saying, "Well, wait a minute. God provides. God provides." And Jesus is saying, "God is providing. For Jesus says in verse 35, I am the bread of life, for I have come down from heaven. I am the bread of life." Verse 49, "Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Jesus is life. We talked about this last time. So in Jesus, with Jesus, partaking of Jesus will bring you life. Life forever. Now, we Christian church people can't help but think about Jesus' words and think immediately of the communion table where we share the bread and the cup every time we gather. And you certainly may think of those things, but Jesus isn't talking about the Last Supper at this moment. The only people who would eat the Last Supper with Jesus are the 11 disciples, not this crowd. Later, they will understand these words in terms of the communion table. But Jesus is saying at that moment before the crowd that just as bread gives life, he, Jesus, gives life. Bread is good for you. Jesus is good for you. Bread will help you live. Jesus will help you live forever. I hate to turn to American advertising, but they've done such a good job of drilling ideas into our heads, or I've spent way too much time as a kid watching television. But many of you remember Wonder Bread. Helps build strong bodies 12 ways. I would be surprised if anyone here can name the 12 ways that Wonder Bread is supposed to help build strong bodies. I know I can't name 12 ways. But that's the genius of the advertisement, isn't it? I remember the product. I remember that it's good for me, or at least I remember the advertisement said it was good for me. Bread builds the body. Well, Jesus builds life forever. The general idea is best captured in Jesus' opening words. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. The Son gives you this food. Just notice, the Son gives the food. God gives it. Jesus is talking about himself. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. We Americans, we eat so much that isn't good for us. The Heavenly Father sent the Son that we might eat and live. Real food for real life forever. Now the Bible says that when many heard Jesus' words, they said that what Jesus said was hard to understand. Maybe you have a tough time too. But let me put it this way. Our God, our Creator and Sustainer, our Savior, wants you to know Him. God wants us to know Him so much that God came to us in Jesus. Our God wants to be known by you. God wants us to know Him. God doesn't just want to meet you or have you meet Him. You've heard people say that, oh, this person wants to meet you. Not God. God wants that you all spend time together with God. God wants that you and God get to know each other. But since our Lord already knows you, it's more up to you to get to know God. The ball's kind of in your court. God wants us to know God. It will bless us. God doesn't want something from us. God wants something for us. God wants us to know Him so much that God came to us in Jesus. John's book, in the third chapter, God so loved the world that God gave. God gave His only Son. The Son came from the Father to give you life, to give you life in abundance. One writer said that God wants you to be satisfied. The bread of life satisfies. Be satisfied by God in Christ. He is food indeed, bread of heaven. Amen.